welcome to episode 32 of In the Shadow of the Evening Trees. I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
I'm David Von Ebers.
And welcome back to our show.
Yeah, we were confused about what episode it was.
We had to check on our website to make sure we were giving you accurate information.
Yeah, it's been that kind of week.
I do want to start out with something. In since we recorded last, there's a new platform online.
Yeah, there is.
That we had no idea was coming, and we both jumped on the bandwagon. You actually told me about it. I barely knew about it, and you knew way more about it than I did.
And I got to be honest, I don't even remember like how I heard about it. I mean, there's all these other things out there like Mastodon and, I don't know, Post, and I can't even remember. But this was new, and if I remember correctly, I saw people on Twitter talking about it, because Twitter, as you may know, is basically that image you see of the dumpster that's on fire and floating down the river.
That's what's happening right now.
That's basically Twitter right now.
And if you don't know what we're talking about Threads, which is a new like subset of Instagram, I guess you could call it.
Yes.
And actually, in a week, 100 million people have also joined, which is kind of crazy. So I still don't really know how people are going to use it per se, or how you can find people. Or I was hoping it would have like a desktop version, like you have it set up on Twitter, where you can like see different.
Although that's an interesting thing too, and we can talk about that. But so what I've used on Twitter for a long time is TweetDeck, which used to be an independent app that you could download on your computer. Now at some point in the past, Twitter actually bought it, and that was okay. But the advantage to TweetDeck on the desktop is that you could create columns. So you could have one column that's all the people that you follow, everything they post. Another column that's what you post. Another column that's, you know, who mentions. So whoever replies or likes a thing or whatever. A fourth column can be direct messages. Another column can be like if you want to follow a hashtag or you want to follow a particular account or whatever. So it had a lot of utility because you could create those different columns. Over the past, I don't know, week or so, it's become like, actually it's been going on longer than that as I think about it. It's like incredibly slow. It takes forever for things to load in the different columns. You try to type out a tweet and there's a huge lag between the keys that you're hitting and the letters that appear on it just got really frustrating.
That's because they got rid of all their IT departments.
Well, you know, you wonder if that's the case. So it really just, it eventually became unusable. So I don't use it anymore. If I'm on Twitter, I use it, you know, because Twitter.com functions essentially the same way as the app on your phone. You just, you know, you can see the stream of people you follow. You can then, you know, go to if you get a notification that somebody liked it or made a comment or whatever, you can switch to that. But it's only one screen at a time as opposed to having multiple columns. But it works. You know, you don't have that weird delay and everything like that. So, you know, and the funny thing is I initially thought it was something on my end because I use a laptop, but then I had an external monitor and an external keyboard. And I thought maybe it had something to do with that. Anyway, whatever. But even though the basic website, more or less functions, I mean, it's a nightmare. I mean, Apartheid Baby has just ruined the whole thing. And it's like, you know, he himself is bad enough because he's going around engaging in all of the worst, you know, with all of the worst characters you can imagine, all the far right wing extremists, the conspiracy people. Of course, he's an RFK Jr. fan, you know. Anyway, so he's made it, you know, pretty bad. And so this new platform came along,
which is a thorn in his side, I guess you could call it.
Well, that's the funny thing. So Threads is associated with Instagram, right? So if you have an Instagram account, there may be other ways to sign up. I don't know. But if you have an Instagram account, it's very easy to sign up. You can go on the computer, You can either download the app directly to your phone, or you can go to threads.com. The only thing you get when you go to threads.com is a QR code
Yes.
that you can use to download the app. By the way, totally off topic, but it's so weird that QR codes became a thing again.
I know.
Right? Because up, before the pandemic, they'd essentially become a defunct technology. Nobody used them. If you found a QR code on some old appliance or something like that, it was almost laughable. Like, is this really going to connect everything?
Right.
And then during the pandemic, people started using them again so that you could do things like, you know, download a menu at a restaurant so you didn't have to physically handle. You know, everybody thought that you didn't want to touch surfaces because that would be a way of transmitting COVID. I'm not sure if that's actually proved to be true, but regardless, it was just a safety measure.
Yeah.
And so now you can't get away from them. They're everywhere.
I know, even on TV commercials, it'll have
television commercials.
Yeah, QR code. I'm like, am I actually going to go up to the TV and take a picture of that so I can open whatever they're trying to sell me?
And it's kind of funny because I kind of felt like that technology just sort of passed us by. Like, we never really made use of it when it was initially kind of a hot thing, and then it kind of petered out,
yeah.
And now it's everywhere.
And I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
So if you download the app and you have an Instagram account, you can essentially follow all of the same people. You can tie your Threads account to your Instagram. You can use the same, you know, profile, the same picture, the same description. But you can also alter those things. I don't think you can alter the name of your
yes.
account.
Right? But you can almost have it like another identity, I guess, or another...
Well, this is an interesting thing. It's interesting. So mine is, I just use my same name. It's Dave_Von_Ebers. You use yours.
At Jen Cooks.
So you can connect with us there if you'd like. We also have a joint Instagram.
Yes.
Which I should actually recall what the, like, say what the name is, because we haven't been very active on the joint Instagram lately. But it would be a good place probably for people to follow us.
Yes.
So that is Jen_and_Dave. That's wild. We got that?
We did.
We were able to do that?
I know.
And so what I'll have to figure out is whether or not we can also do a Threads account through there, which is quite possible. But anyway, we'll figure that out and we'll
yeah.
let you know if we do that.
And if you do follow that, we started that Instagram during the pandemic, and we have 150 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of videos because, of course, you know, the problem, of course, with Instagram is they're constantly changing the rules and making it harder to do things. Great idea for a website. But and there was a point at which you could record pretty lengthy videos.
Yes.
And so if someone saw it in their feed, they would get, you know, a few seconds of it or a minute of it or whatever, and then you could click to see the rest of it. So we were recording half-hour
mm-hmm.
videos, and we were doing cooking demonstrations.
We
we'd go for a hike in the woods. We'd
right.
do a video while we were hiking. We did all kinds of stuff, but then it became harder and harder and harder to post a long form video.
Yes, because then we would get error messages, and then it was just, you know, something that should have taken just a few minutes to upload was taking hours to upload.
Right.
And then we thought, well, maybe we'll do a shorter version on Instagram. We'll start a YouTube channel. So we did that too.
Yeah.
And
which you can find, by the way, we link.
We're on so many platforms.
We link to the. On our joint Instagram, which is Jen
yes.
_and_Dave, which we'll have to be a little more active with in the future, there's a link to our YouTube channel as well. And I think it's just Jen and Dave.
Yes.
But in any event, or Jen and Dave Vonnebers, I don't
yeah.
know. But in any event, you can see. Now, I will warn you in advance that there's some bad guitar playing. that's funny because the very first video we posted... the first Instagram video was on, if I remember correctly, it was the 45th anniversary of the release of the Bruce Springsteen album, Born to Run.
It was.
And we had been talking about, we were bored out of our minds. This is early in the pandemic.
Yes.
We were stuck at home. Our daughter had just gone away, our youngest, I should say, had just gone away to college. Our oldest was living with her partner. Our loyal son was still with us. And still is with us now.
Yes.
But we were kind of bored, and we had been kicking around the idea and talking about it. And then the day of that occasion, the 45th anniversary, was it the 40th or the 45th?
I think it was the 45th.
I said, well, why don't we do a little thing? And I actually played around a little bit with the song Thunder Road. And I got that actually sounded halfway decent. I screwed it up a little bit. But I mean, we were just kind of like, because we had never done it before.
Right.
We were just kind of goofing around, and it actually came out halfway decently. Later, when I tried to play, I'd be nervous about it, because then I would be thinking about what we were doing.
The pressure was on. Yeah.
So those never worked out as well as they could. So ignore the guitar playing.
The one thing I'll just mention, one thing about Threads is I read that it was the fastest growing app with that many people ever.
Well, and I'm sure part of it was that, you know, if you're already on Instagram, it's really easy to sign up.
Yes.
And it's also really easy to just like follow all the people that you've been following. And I don't know about you, but what I've discovered is an awful lot of them just follow you back.
Yes,
you know?
I noticed that too, which is nice. Another thing is, because it is attached to your Instagram, and hopefully that's the only way you can get a Threads account, you won't have instances like on Twitter and other apps where people make dummy accounts to hide behind,
right,
to make mean comments to you. So there could be an advantage.
And like Instagram, if you want to block an account, you can block that account and any other account they create.
Yes.
Just like you can do with Instagram. Now, there are some potential downsides. I mean, there's a whole issue, of course, about, you know, who are they sharing data with and all that. I kind of feel like that's above my pay grade. Let smarter people analyze that and figure that out. But one thing I do know is you can't delete a Threads account without deleting your Instagram account. My thought about that is, so what? I mean, first of all, I don't know that I would want to. And secondly, I think if I was inclined to delete Threads, I would want to delete them both anyway. You know, I mean, I'm sure it would be better to have the option to do one and not the other, but I don't really care about that.
Yeah, or...
But you should know that if you're thinking about it.
Or if you don't want to participate on Threads, then you never have to open that part of the app, you know, mm-hmm, too. So you could just continue as like it doesn't exist.
Right. And, you know, there's another thing, too, is that I've seen... I haven't reported anybody on Threads or anything like that, but I understand that unlike Twitter, they're not afraid to actually like enforce the terms of service, just like they would do on Instagram. So if somebody starts flaming you on your Instagram account, you know, you can report them, and they might
steps
very well
may be taken.
Steps may be taken. Whereas on Twitter, they will enforce certain rules. If somebody engages in really, really horribly bigoted behavior, they might, but they've gone way, they've curtailed most of curtailed most of their, like, you know, scrutinizing and everything like that. So to the point where, you know, early on, if you called somebody a groomer, you know, implying that they were looking to abuse children, you could report that, and they would likely, you know, they would be in Twitter jail. They'd have to delete that tweet before they could reactivate their account. They don't do that at all anymore. They like, you can say virtually anything. It used to also be the case where, you know, you couldn't misgender people who were trans or non-binary. You couldn't use certain kinds of slurs and things like that. They really, even though if you went to report a tweet, you'd see a lot of those things, you know, if you're selecting the reason why,
right,
you'd see a lot of those kind of things, but they really don't enforce that stuff.
So like, what's the point?
Right. Whereas on Threads, you know, I mean, again, I haven't encountered that. I mean, for the most part, with a few exceptions, almost everyone that I follow are people I was already following on Instagram.
Same.
Once or twice I'll see someone on Twitter who I know pretty well, and they say, oh, follow me on Threads. So I'll do that because I already know that person.
And I do like the part where you can see people that you may not see in your Instagram feed, because that is also like you almost like only see people that you interact with, you know, kind of thing. So you almost have the same people, you know. So I do like that aspect of being able to see accounts that I've never seen before.
I want to point out one thing that somewhat, what's on the same thing. I complain about Twitter and I talk about it being a burning trash fire floating down Love Canal. That's, no one will get that reference. Love Canal was a environmental disaster back in the 1970s. Look it up. It was an actual canal that wasn't bad. It wasn't quite like, was it the Cahoga River in Ohio kept catching on fire?
Yes.
I thought, you know, it's funny because I thought that only happened one time. Apparently it happened multiple times.
Oh, yikes.
But anyway, yeah, Twitter is awful. But we do actually also have a joint Twitter account that we created initially to promote our videos.
Yes.
It was even pre-podcast.
Oh, yes, that's true.
It was really for the video.
That's true.
And that is I should know it because I've actually posted on there on occasion. That is Jen and Dave with the underscores. But the actual Twitter account is at Jen and Dave, all run it together, and the number one. So anyway, that's a lot of business. But I have actually posted on there from time to time more recently, like posted links to this podcast and
right.
stuff like that. I should say...
We're trying to get some traction.
I should say we, because I don't want it to be just me doing it. Jennifer has no idea what I'm posting in her name. I'm telling people to F off left and right.
But, yeah, because I'm not on Twitter.
You're not because you're smart. But I mean, there are some... There's still some aspects of Twitter that are essentially useful. I mean, that's how I ran into, first encounter our friend Jesse Jackson.
Yep.
Who, you know, we did the Bruce Springsteen podcast with and that sort of thing. And, you know, so there really are.
And we have met friends in real life person.
We've gone to visit friends in New York who we met initially through Twitter.
Friends came to Chicago to visit us.
Yeah.
So it is... When you hook up with the right people, it is a great place to meet like-minded people that you can become friends with in real life.
But you do get all kinds of crazy things. Like for a while on my own Twitter, for a long period of time, I used my real name in part because I just felt like, you know, there's somewhat more, you know, credibility when you're using your real name. And I didn't in my Twitter, I didn't like identify my employer or anything like that.
Put it in all caps. No,
yeah.
Kidding.
you know, and obviously I wasn't tweeting on behalf of them, but I have gotten in arguments and disagreements with people and stuff like that. And people, since Musk took over, since Apartheid Baby took over, you know, it's become incredibly more toxic and negative and so forth. And he seems to encourage that. And you get attacked a lot. You know, I mean, as I like to say, I'm half Irish and all lawyer, and I'm not really one to back down from, you know, an argument. I'm not gonna apologize for being anti-racist, anti-misogynistic, pro-LGBTQ, that sort of thing. And so I mouth off about those subjects because those are the things I believe. And more you get people, you know, attacking in a particularly negative way, and. You know, I've been a lawyer for a long time. You kind of let that roll off your back. But anyway, there was this one crazy guy from California. His name is Arthur Schaper. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's S-C-H-A-P-E-R. He's a guy who has been like this loudmouth troublemaker out in California for a long time. Shows up at, you know, he was a huge Trump fan. Showed up at school board meetings or other public meetings and made a big scene. Got arrested a couple of times for disorderly conduct at meetings. If you Google his name, you can find pictures of him like screaming at people at protests, getting in people's faces. A lot of them seem to be screaming and yelling at women right into their face. But for whatever reason, I didn't follow the guy or anything like that. He found me. And I take that back. I may have started following him to sort of keep tabs on his lunacy. So there may have been a point in time when I did. But anyway, so he somehow or another found my LinkedIn profile, which of course has my employer name and my real name and all that, and started doing these like really crazy Photoshop screen captures of my and posting them online. So I reported him to Twitter because he was, you know, trying to dox me and reveal personal information. Some other people I know did the same. A couple of account, one account got suspended, one got temporarily suspended, but I didn't know exactly who was behind it until he finally tipped his hand and basically told me he was the one who was behind it. He's still on Twitter. But anyway, I'm making a long story out of this, but what I ended up doing was just going back to using my real name. And of course, on my profile, I say, you know, my views are my own or whatever, to make it clear I'm not speaking on behalf of my employer, whatever.
Yes.
But I'm just like, at a certain point, it's like, screw it. I mean, this person is out there, obviously, you know. And now that guy doesn't have a tremendous amount of followers. And he was also kind of a coward about it in that he didn't initially post any of that stuff on his own account. He created all these other accounts that had like 20 followers.
Right. And it's, you know, like, oh, okay.
He would call, they were under various versions of mass resistance because he thinks he's some kind of a rebel fighting, you know, fighting the evil liberals or whatever. So he would post these images on those accounts because he wasn't, you know, he didn't have the courage to post it on his own. Anyway, regardless. So that's the kind of stuff you deal with on Twitter. And I, at a certain point, you know, first I was like pissed off. I'm like, you know, this is ridiculous. Don't, you know, he's trying to get people to contact my employer. Not like my employer would care that I'm out telling people, you know, that I support different things that I support. I don't think my employer would care.
No.
But that's not even the point. The point is, you know, posting information in the hopes that people will go out and contact my employer and make a big deal out of it. At first, I was kind of pissed off. But then I'm kind of like, well, you know, it's a little bit freeing after a while. Because then it's just like, all right, you know, I'm just going to use my real name and I'm going to say what I want to say and screw it. You know?
Yeah. See, that's why I, that's one of the aspects I don't like on Twitter. And I was just thinking about
this. Oh, for sure.
I have a Twitter that I believe is Jen Cook's. I haven't looked at it for a couple years. So I apologize if anybody, but I kind of think it's like any other platform. If you see somebody has not been active for a while, you're just not going to, like, you could tell, you know, so it's not like something that's all of a sudden like there. So I apologize.
Well,
I should just delete it.
And I will say, you know, when it comes to Twitter, I will say the mistake that I've made for years, because I've actually had other accounts in the past and I've deactivated them and walked away from it. And then, you know, after a while, I'm like, well, maybe not because of anything about Twitter in and of itself so much, but because we have actual friends.
It is a great place,
you know,
to like interact with people.
Right.
And especially during the pandemic when you can't see people or go out. That's the only form of communication, you know, or one of the forms of communication.
But the mistake I think that people make is, and I've made it a million times, is like really getting into an extended argument with somebody. Like, you know, if somebody is saying something jerky and you want to say, hey, you're being a jerk, do it. But then when they come at you 15, 20 times after that, that's where you just got to ignore it.
Yeah, drop the mic.
You know, you can mute it. On Twitter, there's a function where you can leave a conversation. So if there's a lot of back and forth and 18 different people are tweeting, you leave the conversation and they can keep yelling at one another, but you're no longer a part of it and you're not seeing the notification.
Then that's good.
You can obviously block people and there's no shame in that. I am more likely to mute someone than to block them. Not that I necessarily care, but if you block a person, they know. Because if they then try to tag you again, they realize they can't tag you. They find out you've blocked them. If you mute them, they're just screaming into the void. And then you can be really petty like I am sometimes.
And then unmute?
Unmute. Or you don't actually even have to unmute.
Oh,
you
okay.
can just go back to, you know, like search for that account and see what they've been saying. And that's kind of funny because some people will get more and more and more aggravated.
Exactly.
Because you're not responding.
Right.
Anyway, I am petty. I will admit that. But I've sort of learned a little bit over the last, you know, few weeks, partly through this experience, is like, say what you want to say, but don't bother arguing with these folks, you know? And another thing you got to be a little, and I do this too, sometimes if someone says something kind of dumb, you know, you can quote tweet them where you It's like retweeting, but you can add your comment above. The problem with doing, and I've done that, and I, you know, sometimes it's humorous, like this Moms for Liberty group that, you know, was involved in, they were quoting Hitler and stuff like that, and trying to explain it away. You know, they said something about how we will always protect our children or something like that. And I quote tweeted it and said, it sounded better in the original German. But anyway, you know, so I'll do that sometimes. But one thing you have to think about when you do that is, if they're saying really like offensive things, do you really want the people who follow you to see that? Like, you know, I follow a lot of people who are gay and trans and non-binary and so forth, and they follow me. And if someone is saying some horrible thing about trans people, part of me says, I want to put it on blast, as the kids say.
Right.
But then the other part of me is like, yeah, but that means someone who I like and who likes me and we follow each other, you know, then they're exposed to something they might not want to be exposed to. So you got to be a little careful.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it that way, is that you could be, not on purpose, but you could be creating, you know, a conversation online that had you not, or they had not engaged either way.
Right.
Wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, and it's a difficult balance to strike because on the one hand, you know, like, some part of me says you got to expose these people because normal people don't think like this. Rational people don't think like this. They are actually a small, noisy minority of the population acting like jerks. Normal people, when they see that, are going to go, well, that person, you know, and so you feel like there's some benefit to exposing it, but you also have to think about how to protect the people that you care about who are going to be negatively affected by that. So it's, you know, it's, there's a fine art to it, and I have not figured it out. I'll just be blunt. I have not figured it out. But I have gotten away from, you know, sometimes I'll engage people for a short period of time because I think that there's some benefit to exposing their ridiculousness. But I've gotten away from the protracted, or at least I've tried to. Excuse me, that was dinner. sorry about that. But I've tried to get away from like these protracted arguments with people. And the thing is, that's kind of freeing too in a way. It's like, you know, if these Moms for Liberty people are acting like jerks, you know, you can point it out. And then when 18 trolls with, you know, like 3 followers each come running to their defense, you know, whatever, you just ignore them, and then you've accomplished whatever you're going to accomplish. My friend Ian, who I followed for years and years and years on different social media platforms, said, you know, he was saying, don't like quote tweet people and stuff like that. Just be mean to their face. You know, it's like it's much more gratifying to tell them off to their face. And he's, you know, he's kind of got a point. Like you can say something and then just, you know, then just drop it and let people come back and yell and scream and ignore it. It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you really want to kind of make fun of the people who come and scream at you.
And I don't have a thick enough skin. If people are going to be mean to me, I would be like, I couldn't take that.
Well, it is true. I mean, that's the thing is that, and some of it I think is because I spent a lot of time as a lawyer and you know, lawyers are actually fairly collegial to one another. I mean, I've made friends with lawyers who were opposing counsel in cases, and I'm still friends with those folks. Lawyers can be fairly collegial to one another, but there's still a tremendous amount of emotion in a lawsuit.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And, you know, clients hate each other. And so you have to develop a little bit of a thick skin, even though your opposing counsel may be a perfectly nice person, the judge might just take a dislike to to your client or whatever.
Until knowing you as a lawyer, personally, and one aspect that I didn't realize, if you are a lawyer, that kind of like the default is if you have a problem and you hire a lawyer to help you, now it's their problem.
Oh, for sure.
And so they and so then it's like, you know, okay, well, I don't have to worry about it anymore because it's being handled. And it's like, no, it's still your problem. I'm going to see if I can get you either way, but it's not my problem. I'm just going to try to help you.
My friend Howard Goldblatt, a lawyer that I knew, we were not lawyers when we met. We were both working as law clerks in a firm in downtown Chicago. and then maintained a friendship over the years. Howard went to, if I remember correctly, went to Northwestern for law school. And he told me one time, it might have been when we were taking the bar exam, and we were on a break during the bar exam, or maybe it was we ran into each other at some other function after law school. Anyway, he told me that he had a law professor who said, lawyers are the shock absorbers of society. Because, like, your job is to kind of stand in front of the client and take the abuse.
Yeah.
And the other lawyer has to do the same thing. They have to, we have to, like, shelter and absorb the abuse. And that there's a lot of truth to that. And you do, at least in the litigation world, which is what I've always done. And there is a lot of that. And you do kind of develop, a way of coping with it without necessarily losing your mind. Although a lot of lawyers lose their minds.
It's a lot of stress. I mean, it's because there's a lot of pressure, not only, but then again, it's like, I didn't create this problem. You created this problem, and this is, what the outcome could be, but it's like, you can't guarantee anything, but it's just a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is kind of a crazy thing. But that, so the problem, though, is that when you spend, like, I was a lawyer for 29 years before I started doing legal writing and editing and putting out content rather than actually, like, going to court and stuff. And when you're in that environment for a long period of time, you do sort of get a skewed perspective of how normal people communicate with one another, right? So you do sometimes... And it isn't just me. I mean, I think I've been guilty of it, but I think a lot of lawyers are. I mean, I'll interrupt myself in one sense. I've known lawyers who absolutely know how to separate the pressure of the job from real life. So it certainly isn't a ubiquitous thing or a universal thing. But a lot of lawyers, I think, you kind of forget how normal people interact.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to put aside the lawyer brain when you're in a real life conflict. If a neighbor's mad at you about something, your first inclination is to kind of be a lawyer in that situation. A normal person would say, hey, this is my neighbor, we have to live next door to one another,
maybe we
got to figure out a better way to deal with this. So that's a struggle. I mean, for a lot of us, not for every lawyer, but yeah, you do have to kind of learn to kind of get back to a normal way of interacting with people when you're not in the job. And I think social media kind of challenges you that way. If you've been in that kind of career for all those years, and then all of a sudden you've got this way of communicating, not just with people, but like with the world in a sense. You have a platform that you never could have even imagined before. And some of us don't behave that well on that platform at times. I'll never forget the first person I knew who joined Twitter. I mean, I knew of Twitter. I was kind of vaguely aware that people were on it, but this law school classmate of mine joined Twitter, and I don't know, she may have emailed me about it or something like that. But I remember saying, I was not at that time going to join Twitter. I said, but I'd be happy to email you every 5 or 10 minutes and tell you I got a cup of coffee.
Right.
I'm reading the paper. I'm, whatever. Because
exactly.
I had no concept of what that kind of interaction was like. I thought it was just, they called it a microblog.
Right. Where you just like, whatever's going on throughout your day, you just blog about it.
Kind of like what people do on Instagram with pictures.
Yes.
Like you do that with little tiny snippets.
You can see everything I've eaten for the last 5 years.
Yeah. But I had no idea it was going to turn into this insane free-for-all.
Yeah.
But to circle back to the threads, which you brought up at the beginning, is that there's... I haven't gotten involved in any kind of political conversations with anybody on there, partly because it's the same people that I follow on Instagram. There's other lawyers. There's bar associations. There's companies. And I'm kind of like, I don't think I want to interact the way, on threads, the way I might interact on Twitter. I also don't want to interact on Twitter the way I interact on Twitter, to be honest with you. But, I'm learning.
It's a work in progress.
It's taken time.
So let us know if you are on Threads. We'll follow you. And we'll leave all of our platforms and various things that we mentioned. Our joint Instagram, our joint Twitter, our YouTube channel.
We'll link to the YouTube channel.
Yeah. So if you want to see videos of us from the past and fun things we did on video.
When we had fun.
Or know, want to know what we look like.
The one thing you will see if you look at our... Oh, no. You know what? I don't know that I posted that many. There's a whole weird issue with permissions on our joint Instagram account, which is a whole nother story. But I end up... I mostly post on that because...
I wasn't able to log in to another account.
And somehow I can toggle back and forth between them. But anyway, I did not actually post a lot of Ireland pictures on our joint account. And I don't even know why.
I know, we could have done that the whole time.
Well, we'll have to do that. We'll have to go back and post some.
Yeah.
So anyway, but there's other stuff on there.
That's true. But thanks for listening tonight and or whenever time you are listening to this. And you can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
Good night.
Bye.